Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. My website is www.jbsba.com, and when you get there, don't forget all the things you can do. You can get them. You can get motivated. There's a place there called Motivational Minute. It's something you can read in a minute, and I think it'll get you going maybe a little bit. Maybe it'll inspire you to greater things. You can also listen to lots and lots of archives, over 2,000 archives of historic shows that we've done in the past, including the one today will be archived by the end of the day. So if you're driving around and you don't get to hear all of an interview, or you've been looking at our schedule and you know you wanted to hear what somebody had to say, but the timing wasn't right for you on the radio or on the internet, you can go back and listen to that archive. Just remember who the guest was, and you can find it there on my website. And don't forget all the other things, like subscribing to my free newsletter. Jonathan Zook is there. He's on our website. He's all over our website. He's the president of the Association of Competitive Technologies. He's our good friend. Jonathan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's great to be there. Is there, like, video of you running up the stairs in Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All that's there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or chasing a chicken or something
that's
like that.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's all there.
Adrian!
There actually is about to be a picture on the website, and it actually is up on the internet of me in Mickey Mouse ears. And hands.
I see. Yeah, you know how to protect your brand.
Exactly. So, speaking of fair use, which we're going to talk about in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about fair use in a minute. But before we do that, Jonathan, I want to ask you a question about something. Folks, there's something called Comdex. I'm going to get Jonathan to give us the nomenclature of what Comdex means and what it is. But it has been conducted in the United States now for a long time, but they canceled it this year in the United States. And I wanted you to tell us first about what Comdex is.
Well, in its heyday, Comdex was the second largest computer trade show in the world. There's something in Germany called CeBIT, which is the biggest.
Right.
But Comdex was the biggest one in the United States. And so there were sessions for you to learn about technology, and there was a huge trade show floor that you could walk and see new and emerging technologies that were coming out.
You have reported to us on this show from Comdex before.
That's right.
You told us about what some of the new goodies that were coming out.
Exactly. The problem is that Comdex got a little bit long in the tooth for a number of reasons. One is that there's another show called the Consumer Electronics Show.
Right.
I think that I've reported from there as well.
CES, you have? Uh-huh.
CES, right. And that's, 2 months later, 3 months later, so it was almost the same time of year. And what's happening is that there's beginning to be more and more of a convergence that a lot of the technology that was sort of computers as opposed to consumer electronics. Like, consumer electronics are like VCRs, right?
But well, they're computers without a monitor and a keyboard.
Right. More and more, the computers were converging into the consumer space. So more and more of the things that were at the Consumer Electronics Show were, you know, the same things that were at Comdex. And the other thing is that you also have a lot more large companies throwing their own conferences, like Sun with its Java conferences and Microsoft with its TechEd and its PDC, and they have big trade shows in them as well. There was a lot of competition for Comdex, and I think that Comdex started to just lose a kind of a unique flavor, and over time just became a place to have a time to have meetings, if you will.
So what's the lesson from? I want to make sure we finish this before we go to a break in a minute. What's the lesson that you took away from the failure from the? I'm not going to say failure because I'm not saying that there's never going to be another one, but they did cancel the 2004 one.
Right. I think the lesson at Comdex is don't try to do too much. Pay attention to your brand. Make sure that you retain differentiators and focus on them. You know, when you try to be all things to all people, you as those people become more sophisticated, mm-hmm. they realize that there isn't a product that can be all things.
Right.
And that's what they tried to be, and I think that that's kind of what led to their declining revenues over time.
When to me, the lesson for small businesses is what you were saying there is that when you try to serve everybody, you wind up serving no one, and ultimately
right.
not even yourself. Gonna take
hey, Bill
a quick
Cosby
break.
Said, I don't know the secret to success, but the secret to failure is trying to please everyone.
Exactly. Well said, Jonathan. Quick break, 22. We're going to be right back with Jonathan Zook. We're going to talk about fair use. You're using things fairly, but you also might be using technology and other people's property unfairly. And we're going to talk about that right after these messages. Stay with us. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Jonathan Zook, the president of the Association for Competitive Technology. Jonathan, talk to us about the concept of fair use. We all, everybody listening to this show, they do some fair use of somebody else's property. And in the process of doing that, we probably do some unfair use. I want you to tell us a little bit about what that is.
Well, I mean, what we've talked a lot about on your show and others, I'm sure, as well, is the growing importance of intellectual property to our economy and our economy relative to the world economy, that IP is kind of becoming our central export, right? We don't do as much manufacturing anymore, and IP is really core to the United States' sort of a competitive advantage. And so what intellectual property at its foundation through things like patent and copyright is essentially guaranteed by the Constitution. The person that comes up with this IP is granted, you know, rights for how this IP is distributed and granted what's known as a limited monopoly to have some control over how it's distributed to make sure that they get compensated for these ideas in hopes then that more ideas are created, right? I mean, that's
right.
Sort of the concept behind IP. But what there also are is some exceptions to those rights that the courts have defined that fall under the category of fair use. And so there have been some landmark cases, like, for example, you know, the fact that you can record television shows on your VCR because you want to watch them later, the so-called time shifting. Is fair use. The ability to take a little snippet out of a program or something like that to make it part of a report or some other educational thing is fair use. Libraries are an example of fair use. And then, you know, ultimately being able to get to stuff, you know, if you're disabled, you know, if you're blind and you need technology to go in and you know, read an electronic book or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things are all fall under the category of fair use. If you have software, you have the ability to make a copy of it so that you have a backup copy. What you don't have the ability to do, say, though, is make and burn a CD from a CD you purchased and give it to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people make the assumption that that's okay, right?
Right.
But it's not.
Right, because what you've done is you basically prevented, or you've prevented that person from, if they like the music, then they should buy one like you did, which is, and basically what you've done is you've taken away a business opportunity from somebody who produced this this property.
I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, and you know, if you take a movie as an example, if a movie costs $100 million to make and it costs you $19 to buy, it it's a mistake to assume that your rights with respect to that are the same as the rights of the person that spent the $100 million.
Right.
And by saying that you can show it in your house and charge people to see it or make copies of it and distribute them, you're essentially saying that your rights with respect to that content are the same as the creator's rights.
Right.
And by doing that, you're undermining those creators' rights. And so, I mean, there's a lot of discussion and a lot of tension between, you know, it's a very dynamic and fluid thing, but there's a lot of discussion and tension between the rights of copyright holders and patent holders and the rights of, you know, customers, if you will, right, to this so-called fair use. And that's something that's being hotly debated.
Well, and one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up, Jonathan, is because as we've learned over the last few year or two, and as your friend Andre Carter said to us on Monday, and he's done this before, and as I've talked about and written about, more and more small business owners are creating intellectual property. And we've talked at length in the past about what that is and what it can look like. It can be all the way from a little form that you use that makes your business work better, all the way up to a patent that makes you rich. And so, but the point is that more and more small business owners are not only creating that kind of property, but they're valuing it and they're leveraging it. And so if we want to be able to use the things that we create ourselves in a proprietary way, we've got to also be more aware of how we use other people's property, don't we?
Because it's all about the culture and environment that you create.
Right.
And you have to be part of creating an IP-centric culture if your IP stands a chance of being protected.
Your intellectual
property. And
that's
not only here, but around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as we, you know, execute trade agreements, we, you know, part of what we work on is to make sure that they respect our intellectual property in other countries as well. The United States has gotten to a point where for our economy to continue to grow is almost entirely dependent on the growth of exports.
Right.
In other words, for these companies that you own shares in and things to get any bigger, for that stock price to get any higher, is going to be a function of those companies' ability to export abroad. And so that's why protecting intellectual property around the world is important. And if we don't do it here, it's pretty tough to tell other countries they need to do it.
That's exactly right. Jonathan, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We've got more to come with our good friend Jonathan Zook, the president of the Association for Competitive Technologies. Website is actonline.org. Quick break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sparkling earrings lay against your skin. So brown, and I wanna sleep with you in.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Jonathan Zook. Jonathan, tell us about the Association for Competitive Technologies.
Well, ACT is an IT industry trade association made up mostly of small businesses. Basically what we try to do is make sure that Congress enacts good policies with respect to the information technology industry and small business. So we put out a newsletter that if you come to our site at www.actonline.org, actonline.org, you can get on the newsletter. But generally, we're just trying to fight the good fight in Washington to keep regulation at a minimum and entrepreneurship as the, you know, key to the economy's growth.
What are some things that are going on right now that you see that you guys are working on that could potentially harm small businesses?
Well, one of the, it's an interesting thing. I mean, when we were talking about fair use, there's a bill that Congressman Boucher has proposed, which is designed to, in many respects, create loopholes for those who violate intellectual property. And so it would basically soften the intellectual property protection that we currently have. And So that's why the issue is of growing importance. And so that's something that we've been debating about as well. There's also another issue that's being addressed on the Hill, but also in the world, if you will, called fishing. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to talk to your.
We haven't talked about it much. I've something I know a little bit about, but we haven't heard about. Tell us what it is.
Fishing, which is spelled with a PH at the beginning, is the process of basically creating fake websites and emails in order to get account information out of you. So sometimes you'll get an email that you think is from eBay. That's
right.
A really popular one.
Or Microsoft. I've gotten them from Citibank, from Microsoft, the whole thing.
That's right.
You name it. I mean, I've gotten them, and you know the questions that they're asking. Because of the questions they're asking, I mean, I know that it's not a real thing before I even knew what phishing was. But a lot of people don't know that, do they?
That's right. I mean, because they make them look really good. I mean, right? They make
It has the domain. I mean, it says eBay.com in the domain, or it says Citibank.com.
That's right. And one of the things that about the email system as it exists on the Internet is that it's pretty easy to spoof, which is the idea of I can send an email to someone from you, for example. So I can put whatever I want in the from field, if you will.
Right.
And so it makes it easy to make an email look like it came from someone else. The other thing that's interesting is that, often these emails will say something like, click here to confirm your credit card information on your
right.
account, or click
right.
here to confirm your account information, and then they use that to continue to to collect that information from you
and steal your identity.
Exactly, and there's even this notion of masking the URL that you're clicking on as well. I mean, you've seen. On web pages where it says click here, and then that's translates behind the scenes to a specific web page, right?
Right.
I mean, it's sort of, well, that same technology, if you will, is used to put a URL that looks like www.ebay.com/confirm or something, when
right.
in reality it's going to a completely different website,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean,
well, what's being done
for the URL.
What's being done to combat this?
Well, I mean, and there's a number of things both sort of happening in the market, if you will, and also some potential discussion of legislation with respect to phishing
mm-hmm.
That we're working on to try and to make... hopefully make the situation better from a legal standpoint.
But also make sure that the government doesn't go too far and impinge on people who are valid marketers, email
marketers.
That's
exactly right. I mean, and that's always the balance that we help to try and strike, is to make sure that, Steve has probably been on talking about spyware.
Right, he has.
From time to time. And it's a similar type of issue that you
mm-hmm.
want. To make sure legislation doesn't, catch too many dolphins in the tuna net, so to speak, right?
Well, and thanks to guys like Jonathan Zook, Steve Del Bianco, and the other folks at ACT, Association for Competitive Technologies. You guys are standing up there on our behalf, Jonathan. We appreciate it very much.
It's our pleasure.
And thank you for being here today. We'll see you next time. Take care.
All right.
Jonathan Zook, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be, too, after these messages. I'm Jeff Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.